And part of the reason why I share that video there is this morning we're in Romans, right? We're in our study of Romans, the righteous shall live by faith. And the name of my sermon this morning is VIP Access. VIP Access. How many of you ever had or wanted to have, you went to a certain concert, or you went to a certain place, and you wanted to get a backstage pass? Has that ever gone over your heart and mind? Like, man, wouldn't it be really cool to meet those people, right? To have lunch with that singer or that artist, or had a VIP access to see a movie before it came out, and you got a special chance to have a showing of that. And so when I was at Teen Mania Ministries, as you know, I worked as an intern there, and a handful of our 500 of us were chosen to tour with the Newsboys. How many are familiar with the Newsboys, right? And so we're able to tour with the Newsboys for 2 weeks of our lives. And so we loaded on this school bus that was transformed. It still looked like a school bus on the outside, but it had beds on one side with metal frames. It had like a couch in the back and another seat, so a little living room back there, and then seats that faced forward. All the old school green seats were pulled out and kind of cushy beat up seats, but still good ones. Our bus looked nothing like Newsboys tour bus. I took a little peek and I'm like, whoa, did I just go to tour bus heaven? You know, like that's after walking out of our tour bus, that's what it felt like. But my manager chose me as one of the people to go. And so we toured, we went to North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And so our job was to share a video just like the one that you saw and say, how many of you are interested, feel called to go on a summer mission trip? If you're interested, we'd like to take you over here to this side room. And we shared another video, and then I got to share my first mission trip to Australia and how I got there. As you guys know, I did hops in my kangaroo suit. We rented a kangaroo suit. Yes, it was a lowering of my pride as a 17-year-old young man, but hopping 1,000 hops in this sweatsuit that I'll call it, okay? And so I shared that story, and I shared about how God transformed my heart and mind while I was on missions. It gave me a heart for kingdom purposes and gave me a heart to reach the world. You know why I'm so into missions? You know why I'm so connected to the Assemblies of God? I was actually raised non-denominational. But you know what? I'm so in love with the AG. You're like, you're in love with the AG. Get my heart, okay? Is there heart for missions? This movement, that's what we call it. This movement was birthed out of everybody needs to hear the gospel. And so I'm going to do everything I can in my heart and mind to reach those people. I'm going to give, and even if I'm retired and I'm 75 years old, I'm going to give every little dime I can so that somebody in Zimbabwe can hear the gospel. Somebody in India can be broken from the caste system that they've been in, thinking reincarnation is just my life, and sometime maybe I'll come back as something better, because I'm trash right now. But maybe if I do all the ritual things, I can some come back as something better. But this life is just a push to do that. That somebody could share the gospel with them and share it's not about your caste system. You have VIP access to the throne of grace. You have VIP access to go where you couldn't before. This is not a Star Trek commercial, okay? Go where you've never been before. I'm not going to start quoting, okay? But you get where I'm going with that. And so, so back to Newsboys, right? And so every 2 weeks, there'd be a whole new team. A changing of the guard, if you will. And so I traveled with them, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And our job was to promote missions, as I shared. And we actually had an opportunity to enjoy the concert every time. So after we packed up our stuff with missions, we got to go out there. And I don't know if you remember stepping up to the microphone, but back then, this is back in 99, okay? But there were two drummers, and the main drummer, Peter, became the lead singer. And so they're back to back with each other. Picture Leonard here and Leonard here, okay? And so, so there's a drum set here, a drum set here, and it's on this big rotating thing. Let me show you what that looks like. Right here. So they're rotating up in the air as they're doing a drum duel, if you will. And it was just so fun and so amazing. And again, the tour was stepping up to the microphone. And so I had VIP access. I could go anywhere. I remember eating with the Newsboys. And, you know, I was, you know, whenever you get around people that, you know, are kind of famous in the Christian world, right? You get tongue-tied. And so I was like, oh, these grapes are really tart, you know? And Phil's like, yeah, they're really tart. They are. Yeah, it's true. Right, so, but as they're eating with us, they're telling us their frustrations that Teen Mania just has new people come every 2 weeks, and we don't feel like we could ever get to know anybody because you guys just shuffle on through and we get a next group. And I listened to that, and that whole VIP aspect kind of deflated for me. I love the Newsboys, don't get me wrong. And I get where they're coming from. I can see where if you get a new group every 2 weeks, that can be a little bit like, I can't get to know you. I only got 2 weeks to be with you. But you know what? It took, you're important, and you're doing something vital, and it deflated me. It was like I was like one of those big Daffy Ducks, you know, and then pull that air and just... Because I no longer felt like I was important to them. Now, don't get me wrong. Peter's dad, who's a pastor, would travel with them and create accountability for them. They are one of the longest standing groups that have just been so strong in the Lord as they've toured and toured and toured for years. Wonderful, awesome, incredible men of God. Wonderful. But again, I just felt like they weren't interested in getting to know us. Because, hey, you're only going to be here for 2 weeks. Have you ever done that? Probably, right? Oh, my friend's leaving. I'm going to stop connecting with them. I'm going to stop. Why get together with them when they're just leaving in 2 weeks anyways? Peace out. And I really encourage you to value relationships no matter what time period you have with them. Build those. They're valuable. And what you can sow into somebody's life in 2 weeks, you know, Teen Mania used to take teenagers for two-week trips. Now, when I went, God had me go for the long haul, so I went 2 months in a foreign land. But 2 weeks can change your life, amen? 2 weeks preaching the gospel, surrounded by a different culture, and being the hands and feet of Christ, 2 weeks can change your life. And you know what was awesome? As I was sharing about missions, people were signing cards and we could call them about GE, about Global Expeditions. And many of them transferred to the mission field because of us being at a concert in North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee. And their face is gone from my memory, but I remember sharing with people. And I remember playing that video and I remember encouraging them to jump on missions and to go. And this was for teens, this was for adults, all of that. Our relationship with the creator of the world is different than our relationship with the Newsboys, thank the Lord, huh? It's eternal. And even if he had only 2 weeks to get to know you, he'd go out of his way to do so. He'd never make you feel like you were second best. He'd never make you feel like you don't matter. On this tour, there were youth that were chosen to have lunch with the band. And I kind of watched from afar my 2 weeks, and I saw them have different, you know, lunch with the band or dinner with the band. And I saw Peter, and I saw filled Joel as they would make eye contact with that student. And they made that student feel like they were $1 million. And they felt like they did win $1 million sitting in front of them. You see the difference? And again, I'm not attacking them. But my point is that they it was like their whole world was around them at that moment. You know, as a husband, sometimes we get busy in life, and instead of being fully there with our spouse, we're fully there. And we've got our smart device, and we're kind of half listening. Right? Oh, you know, you're going to be with me for my whole stinking life. I got to answer this text. Right? That we need to be in our culture that is trying to pull us in all different directions. We need to know what it means to give our complete attention to that person that we love and care about. With our friends, when we sit down and interact with our friends, again, we're not somewhere else. We're right here. We're present. Right? We're present. That's our gift to them, isn't it? To be fully present. It's so hard in our culture. It's so hard, but you know what? Again, I'm reminded that God wants to have that kind of present relationship with you. That He has given you VIP access to the throne of grace, and He has given, even though there's 1 million things going on in this world, the Lord, in His omnipotence, has the ability to be completely focused on your prayer. And responding to you and to your prayer. In Romans 5, such an encouraging chapter, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, with God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've obtained access. We have VIP status with the Lord. We didn't earn it. God has lavished His grace on us. Amen? When I was chosen to go with Newsboys, I didn't earn it. Teen Mania didn't know that they were one of my favorite bands. They didn't know how stoked I would be to go on this life-changing adventure. One of my friends was named Chelsea. And she's actually from Mitchell, South Dakota. I had never knew Mitchell, South Dakota was even on the map at that time. And one of my close friends in the Honor Academy, where we would become close platonic friends, I would find out, she's like, oh, you live in my hometown. You live in Mitchell, South Dakota. God ordains connections and relationships and opportunities, and He is there to create those and connect those long term. It's just amazing to me. I didn't know that would happen. I didn't know that I would go on a mission trip to Panama, and I was trying to pick a school of where God would have me. Again, AG was not really on my radar, and my friend would go, hey, And I actually went to this Christian college fair, and I was checking out different Christian colleges, and Roberto Perez came up to me. And he's like, let me tell you, my brother, about the Lord and what He can do. Right? And he was so on fire for Jesus. So amazing. And so, anyways, I filled out a card, right? And I was really debating, should I go to Evangel? I'm not sure. So I called up my good friend, Jamie Sechrist, who I went and experienced life and death stuff on a mission trip. I'm not promising you that, and I'm not praying for you when you go on a mission trip like that. You've heard me share of my stories there in Panama. And I said, I'm thinking about going to Evangel. And she said, that's where I went to school. I'm like, no. And she's like, yeah, it is. And let me tell you, to go into an awesome church called New Life Assembly of God, just fantastic church to go to, and you'll love Evangel. And I was asking God, confirm where you want me to go. And God would use my co-leader to Panama to connect me and confirm that I go. And once I got into the AG, I dove into the AG. My wife, her grandfather is born and bred AG, an Assembly of God pastor. But before I had kind of known about the AG from afar, and God used a series of relationships for me to dive in to this movement that I'm so glad to be a part of. And I share with you this because, again, God wants to give you VIP access to Him and to His plans and to His ways. And it happens through relationship, and it happens through divine focus on Him. And He has made the way for us to have that kind of access. Well, the Bible talks about the temple of God. And with the temple of God, we know that it was this spiritual gateway to the presence of the Lord. We know there was a tent of meeting, right, where Moses would meet with God and His face would shine. You know that the power and presence of God would come down. It would be represented by a cloud and fire. And later on, God allows them to build this temple to Him. And as we know, there's an outer court and an inner court, right? The outer court is for the who? Outer court is for, say it again? The people, but what kind of people? Gentiles, boom shakalaka. All right, and so yes, for the Gentiles. And then the inner court was for the Jews. Yeah, for the Jews. And then there was a holy place where only the priests could go, right, and do their priestly duties. And then there was the Holy of Holies, and this is where the Lord's presence dwelled. In the book of Hebrews 9, it says this, and starting in verse 6, it says, "The priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties, but into the second, only the high priest goes, and he, but once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people." Right? And so he offers these to the Lord. And so he entered once for all to the holy place. Jesus did. The priests go regularly in this first section, performing the ritual duties, but in the second, only the high priest goes, right? And so what did Jesus do? He became the ultimate high priest. He entered once for all to the holy place, not by means of the blood and goats, blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. So through Christ's sacrifice, we are justified. Again, throwing that up there again, what does it mean to be justified? It is the act of God whereby He forgives the unsaved person's sins and imputes, credits, assigns to them the righteousness of Christ when through faith they believe. Jesus gave us VIP access where no man in the world could before. Except once a year, and it was a high priest appointed, and he became that, so that you and I could go into that holy place with him, a place of relationship, a place of deep connection like you've never experienced before. That's what we have opportunity to do and to be with him. But you know what? I can get a VIP access card, and I can choose to not do any of it. I can choose to not eat with the newsboys. I can choose to not go, "Oh, that's a really sour grape, you know, it's really sour." I can miss out on the sour grapes, okay? I can miss out on the VIP access because I could sit with my little pass and I can actually hold it all my life but not use it. But I could have that VIP access where it says here, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh." Now, there was a curtain between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, right? And what happened when Jesus was crucified? What happened to that curtain? It tore. There you go. Man, I'm hearing from a lot of you. That's awesome. All right? Tore it, right? Right? Remember one Easter when we did Friday night service, I handed out pieces of cloth. And in one moment, remember that we ripped it and you just heard the ripping of the cloth? And sometimes we need to be more tactile, right? Kinesthetic learners, right? And so again, that ripping it, and it just put in my heart and mind, that's what happened on the moment of Calvary. That separation. That was not a real ripping, in case you're listening online. Okay. But again, that's what he did. That's what he did for you and me. Through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. See, because when his flesh was ripped apart, that's why I always, when I'm quoting Isaiah 53, that by his stripes we are healed, I love the translation that says, he was ripped apart so we could be sewn together. Picture that curtain that's torn apart. Try sewing that thing, right? It's not on a seam. You ever try to sew pants that have been ripped, but they're not ripped on the seam? It can't be done. Give those pants up, all right? Donate that cloth somewhere, because you're not wearing those again. We weren't ripped on a seam. It looked impossible to stitch us back together, but by him being ripped apart, we were sewn back together. The impossible was made possible. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What's that all about? Well, they would take the blood of the sacrifice and they would sprinkle it on the altar. And even though they never went in there, they knew what happened in there, right? It wasn't what happened in Vegas stays in Vegas, okay? What happened in the Holy of Holies was told to everybody, okay? They sprinkled it on the altar, and then they had washings, right? And so he's saying, Jesus, he sprinkled himself on the altar so you could be made pure. Our bodies are washed with pure water. We are clean and pure because of what Christ did for us, and we have complete access. This is excitement with faith. We can get to know the most important person in the universe. We can deeply know our Creator, the one who saved our souls for eternity. Let me give you a little glimpse into a description of the glorified Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, I was having my quiet time this week, and I'm in Revelation, and here's the description of Christ. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven gold lampstands, and in the midst of that lampstand, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. Now, please, this is not some pageant, okay? This is a mighty king that is wearing gold, all right? He's majestic. He's a king of kings. The hair of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. John is so overtaken by the majesty of Jesus. He goes, he's overtaken. And if it weren't for the angel touching him and giving him strength, he couldn't get up. That's the king we serve. That's the awesomeness of who he is. It's amazing. The apostle John knows what it means to have VIP access, but he also knows what it means to suffer. The Apostle John knows Jesus. He knows him. He has known him for such a deep part of his life. And then he turns around and sees him in his glorified state. And Jesus is incredible. You know, man, you have a pocket knife. He has a sword coming out of his mouth. All right, so it doesn't compare, right? And so, just amazing. Jesus, he's dressed to the hilt. He's king. He's not sporting Jordans or some kind of nice dress shoe. Jesus' feet were burnished bronze. No need for steel-toed boots. He had burnished bronze shoes. He's just radiating goodness. It's like Moses when he was on the mount with God. But Jesus isn't reflecting this glory like Moses. It's not a reflect. It is emanating from him. It's emanating from him. You want to meet a star someday? You will. In fact, you will meet the one who holds stars in his hands. Think about that. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. John got to get a glimpse of this glory in fuller and fuller measure. Now remember, he had another VIP access moment, didn't he? Where he is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus is shining bright, and he is talking to Moses, and he's talking to Elijah, and he doesn't put his foot in his mouth. That was Peter, right? But he has this VIP access moment where Jesus says, until I'm raised from the dead, you guys don't tell this to anybody. And guess what? John knew how to keep a secret. John knew how to be confidential. In fact, John, in the book of Revelation, there's a part of it where Jesus says, seal that up. I don't want you writing that down. What you just saw right there, that glimpse, that part, don't write that. You're not allowed to. And John goes, okay. Moving on. I'm not going to write that. I'm going to obey my master. Right? And so John has these deep access moments with God. John was the one that stood at the feet of Jesus when all the other disciples ran away. Jesus is standing with Mary, right? And he is right in front of the cross. He's right in front of, John stood at the feet of Jesus. John is told that he now bears the responsibility of caring for Jesus' mother. And like John, Paul will speak of this flip side of VIP access as well. This is the part that's a little bit harder for us. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces what? Endurance. Endurance is when you can go, and you can go, and you can go, and even when you're sweating, and even when you're tired out, and even when you feel like giving up, you still go the distance. Endurance. And what's added to endurance? Endurance produces character. A man or woman of integrity and character. Man, we need more of those in places of leadership, don't we? And we need those in our community where we would be the people of character, where we show godliness by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We don't rejoice only that grace is lavished on us. Man, that's the fun part. That's the theme park, right? That is the super fun part. Remember when you were a kid and you went to a theme park, you're like, woo, I want to go on this ride. And maybe you were intimidated to go on rides. I don't know. But like, I want to go on that. And oh, man, those teacups were so much fun. But you know what? When we grow up in our faith, we realize that it's not just about grace being lavished on us. That's not only what we get to glory in. We rejoice when we get to be a part of the closeness of living with God. And part of being close with Jesus is feeling what Jesus felt, the pain that he felt, the hurt that he experienced. It teaches us to push through. When you've gone through huge amounts of pain and come out with stronger character, there was suffering involved, wasn't there? But that refined you, didn't it? When you came out on the other side of pain and you held on to Jesus through that storm, you came out stronger like steel. It's been hit and hit. God doesn't want Christians that all they want is just the glory of living over here. Paul says, I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to grow in maturity. And how do you grow in maturity? It's hard because there's suffering involved. In my life, the pain I felt the most was from people I desired to be with the most. Sometimes the people that are closest to you can hurt you the most. And that rejection brings suffering. Christ was rejected, and he was rejected by one of his closest friends, Judas. And Jesus even knew he was going to go do it. He said, go and do it. Go and do what you're planning on doing. Know that it's not a secret, but you go and betray me. In our lives, we suffer loss of loved ones. It's raw. The pain is real. Christ suffered loss. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've had to go through some form of suffering, and it can come from places you least expect it. Isn't that the hardest? When you're not expecting it and it hits you? But many times death is like that. I had a good family member that was just getting ready to bring their father into their home to take care of him. They prepared the home. They got everything ready. And he passed away. And he was 61. We don't know what... I know this sounds trite, but I think it's such a good example. We don't know the expiration date on our milk carton. We don't, but all of us have a different one. And that one may be really quick, or you may live to 91. You don't know. But we all have a different expiration date on our milk carton. How are you going to use the time that you have now for his purposes? You have all access. You have VIP access to approach the throne of grace, to experience God now and not just in eternity. Will you use that opportunity to approach the throne? Will you use that opportunity? Whether it's in your own personal quiet time. And if you're like, Pastor, what's a quiet time? Talk with me later, okay? You should be having one. Because you shouldn't just be getting fed on Sunday morning. If I only ate on Sunday morning, it might be good for me short term. But if I only ate on Sunday morning, I would die. I would be very malnutritious. Right? It would not be a good thing. And so we're talking about maturity, and we're talking about, again, that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces, again, what is that? Hope. Hope is not I hope it will happen, or you better hope it happens. Kind of like we've used hope like we don't even think it's going to take place. I hope I get a job. Well, maybe you should go out and fill out some applications. Right? But hope is a divine confidence. I know I'm going to receive it. In fact, I know I already have it. And so now I'm just going to walk in it until by faith I see it take place. And so my hope is a confidence. I know it. I know it. That is what your character refinement does in the Lord. That endurance produces character. And that character, if it's cultivated right, if it's protected, if it's surrounded by brothers and sisters that believe in God and believe in you, that something's going to birth and it's not just more babies, right? Although you may be hoping to have one, right? But it's going to be that birthing of hope. Corrie Ten Boom birthed hope. And guess what? She didn't just birth it. She preached about it everywhere she went. And she was somebody that shouldn't have had hope, right? She saw her dad die. She saw her sister die of starvation right in front of her eyes. She had Nazis that would beat her and beat her. But guess what? She kept that character guarded. She endured. And I would have loved. I'd rather have met her. I love the Newsboys, but I would have rather met Corrie Ten Boom if I had the opportunity. Who is it that you would want to sit with, a man or woman of faith, that if you had the opportunity, you could sit down and have lunch with and just commune with and tell me about this? Tell me more about that. Corrie would be one of those people for me. Tell me more, Corrie. How did you not get bitter? How did you not get so angry? She'd tell you it's the Holy Spirit. Remember how we talked about one time where the man that beat her and her sister came up to her during a service and said, I want to ask you for forgiveness. She wanted to hurt the guy. She saw in no way that she could forgive that man. And she said, Holy Spirit, this is where I need your empowerment. This is where I need your divine help. And she held his hand. She made contact with him. And they prayed together. She said, I have never felt the power of God so strong. But in that prayer, that was the strongest power of God moment I've ever felt in my life. And it was that moment where she had suffered and she had endured and she had character. Man, that woman had character. She saved Jewish people's lives over and over again. And out of that birthed hope. And that hope was able to give access to a man that didn't deserve it. A man that beat her. A man that was a part in her sister dying in the concentration camp. And she hands him, through the power of Christ, a VIP access card to Jesus. Right? It's still by Jesus. Jesus is the one, but we get to show that character. That's an awesome verse to memorize. You want a verse to memorize? Memorize that. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, right? And endurance, character. And character, hope. And then you begin to pray this out. God, I need you. And I need you to help me to produce that endurance for the long haul. And then, God, I pray that you would grow in me. You would forge in my heart a character that's so refined that nobody could ever tear it apart, no matter how hard they try or no matter how many hurts I've experienced. And out of that, God, I want you to bring forth something glorious. And I would just say, this is not me, it's Jesus. It's not me. This is Jesus in me. Because I couldn't have this hope if it wasn't through the Holy Spirit working in me through this process of suffering to come out refined like gold. And some Christians miss this process because whenever they get hurt, God, why did you do this to me? God, I don't want suffering. God, why did I have to experience this? I'm doubting your love. Listen, it's okay to be honest. The Psalms are full of honesty. David is yelling to God sometimes. But in your frustration, don't miss the character refinement. Don't miss the suffering that produces endurance, the endurance that produces character. And you're not done yet. Just because you're a good person and because you've done great things, you're not done yet. Because God wants to birth hope in you. And what do you do with hope? You share hope. Hope is greater, right? It's greater than malnutrition. It's greater than sex trafficking. It's greater than any kind of malice or evil, or envy, or strife. So now I'm just not a good person. I don't just have good character. I'm sharing hope. I'm sharing it again. 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 And that hope is going to start them on the journey of grace with VIP access to the kingdom, to the throne of grace, and also to the forging of saints of God. That you and I, even in our broken places, can shine like the stars in this crooked and depraved generation. That's powerful, isn't it? It's powerful because it's the Word of God. It's powerful because of what He wants to do in and through you. I want to bring you to the part in Revelation 21. And it says that the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. This hope does not put us to shame. That's what Paul says, right? because God's love has been poured into our hearts. I've memorized this verse before, and again, it's just so powerful. You have the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? I mean, we can say that, right? Like, oh, I get it. Yeah, and I was baptized at this point, and at this point I was saved, and all this kind of stuff. What you're telling me there is the date that you got the VIP access card. But my question to you is, how are you and I now using that VIP access card? Are you using it to bring other people in? Are you using it to approach the throne of grace? Are you using it now to see character reformed in your heart and in your mind and in your life? I want to end this VIP access sermon with a look at the Apostle John. John, at the end of his life, will be boiled in oil, church history says, but he has a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego moment, right? That although he is thrown into this heat, he is unharmed. And they're so dumbfounded and so blown away, but yet so angry that their punishment to him is to throw him on the Isle of Patmos, which is not like an island like, the Caribbean. It's not. He's throwing you on a 20-day tour of the Caribbean islands with, you can eat all that you want on this, that's not a picture, right? It was hard to cultivate food in that place. It was hard to live on that small isle of Patmos. He saw the grace of God, the VIP access to God, but he also experienced the pain and the suffering of standing for Christ amongst a crooked and depraved generation. In the midst of his suffering, endurance and character refinement sprang a vision of hope. What do we call that vision? The title of that book. What do we call that vision? Revelation. We tend to want to say Revelations, but it's not. The book of Revelation, right? It was out of that hope that came that vision. It was in the midst of his suffering, his endurance, his character refinement, on the Isle of Patmos, that the Lord would birth the vision of Revelation. It's powerful. Whether we experience the most exciting moments on the peaks of our lives or we're suffering through the hardest of circumstances, we can know that we have access to the King. And we can know that through the growing pains of life, some pains a lot harder, a lot stronger, and some lighter, God is birthing endurance in your life. God is reforming and refining your character. But the greatest of these, out of all of this, is hope. The hope that doesn't disappoint. If we could see it now in its complete fulfillment, we would be flabbergasted. If we don't have that access pass, guess what? You could leave with it today. I'm pretty confident that those that I'm looking at today have that access pass. And my second challenge to you is this. Today, how do you walk away from this message? How do you apply it to your life? Walk in the grace you've been given. Use your access pass to sit down with the greatest star there was and will ever be and commune with God this week. Really commune with him. Don't rush it. Take chunks of time and realize the opportunity that you have right there. Ask him questions. Let him answer you. Walk out with a thankful heart today. That's how you comply, right? With a full of life heart. Embrace the journey, knowing that there are some amazing times you've had with God, but know the amazing things are still to come. Embrace the suffering because God is forming us as people of God through suffering, perseverance, character building, and unshaken hope. Would you bow your heads with me? I was at a very liturgical funeral this week. And my neighbor passed away. And although this service was liturgical, it was inspiring. It inspired us and filled us with a hope of the future of eternal dwelling. And right now, I pray this service brings that to you today. I pray right now that you would be inspired by God's word, filled with hope, that you would be challenged to develop through the circumstances of life that are brought your way. God, help them. Help us. God, not to just rejoice when we have that hundredfold crop, but help us to see with your eyes through the suffering that we go through. And help us to become more and more like you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, may the Lord go with you today, and may you be blessed, and the altars are open.